today on Annenberg Radio News.
If kids are not well physically and mentally, they don't come to school and they don't learn.
A new clinic tries to give kids all the support they need to grow and learn. We'll take a look at a new wellness center at Washington Prep. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, February 11th, 2010. I'm Heather Hope. It's the end of an era in Los Angeles today. Congresswoman Diane Watson, whose district includes South L.A., announced she is retiring, Ariel Edwards Levy reports.
Standing with staff in her district office, Representative Watson reflected on a 35-year career in public service.
It really has been a joy for me and very satisfying to be a public servant.
Watson first spent 10 years as a state senator and served as President Clinton's ambassador to Micronesia. She was elected to the House in 2001. She says she is retiring to spend more time with her 100-year-old mother and to allow a new generation of politicians to take office. Some members of that new generation say they were inspired by Watson's career, during which she often broke barriers as a black woman. One former member of her staff, Holly Mitchell, is now running for state assembly. She says she wouldn't be here without Watson.
Oh, she's taught me so much. The story she told about being a woman candidate, being a woman of color, entering in kind of the world of public policy, how to be effective, how to be gracious, how to truly be a public servant. And in my opinion, she is a consummate public servant.
Watson's 33rd district went Democratic in 2008 by nearly 90%. Political strategists say it's very unlikely to change hands in the 2010 election. But Watson says she expects a spirited primary and wants to meet with candidates before deciding on an endorsement.
When I endorse someone for my seat, we have to be thinking alike on how to serve the people. And if they don't think like I do, then I can't support them.
A leading possible candidate is State Assembly Speaker Karen Bass. While Watson did not specifically endorse her, she said she hopes to see Bass run.
She knows the district very well, and I would hope that she would be one of the people to consider running, and I would be very happy if she would.
As her term ends, Watson says she'll still be focusing on issues important to her district. And, she says, the door will not close on her political involvement.
I will be right here in the community. I'll be working with whoever takes my seat and seeing that the needs of the majority of the people are taken care of.
Ariel Edwards Levy, Annenberg Radio News.
Former President Bill Clinton was hospitalized today with chest pains. Clinton underwent a procedure to prop an open clogged heart artery. He's expected to make a full recovery. The former president first landed in the hospital for heart problems in 2004. Hillary Clinton is flying from Washington to be with him. This morning, the LA City Council continued to grill the city's top budget analysts about proposed layoffs. The mayor says the cuts are needed to close the city's $200 million deficit. Trevor Thompson was at the meeting and has more on the story.
Budget issues once again dominated today's City Council meeting. Councilman Ed Reyes tried to keep the vibe of the meeting upbeat.
But now is the time to get ready for the upswing. And this is the window that we can't miss.
City Administrative Officer Miguel Santana also tried to keep things optimistic, telling the council there are no layoffs on the horizon, only the elimination of city positions. Councilman Richard Alarcon, holding a document he received from Santana, objected to Santana avoiding the word layoffs.
I don't have to show all of it, but just to say that the title says potential layoff list.
The council closed its regular meeting before noon and began a special meeting with a roll call. The audience wanted their turn to talk and began to get a bit restless. Private conversations broke out. People got up and walked around, and some even just walked out the door. In fact, it got so noisy that Council President Eric Garcetti had to reprimand the audience.
Please, if you can take conversations out of the chambers, either if you're on this side behind the chambers or if you're on that side, outdoors, please. These are very serious matters. These are very important issues.
But the first issue discussed after Garcetti's rebuke and the ensuing hush wasn't the budget, layoffs, or anything financial. It was street sweeping. The audience had little interaction with the council for much of the morning and the early afternoon. That is, until Councilwoman Janice Hahn took the mic.
Well, you know, yesterday when I was talking about how I thought layoffs were the wrong way to go because it's about the economy. Apparently the Newsweek editors were watching Channel 35. Look at the cover this week. Layoffs are bad for business. the downside of downsizing.
The council, which usually meets 3 days a week, is meeting all 5 days this week for budget talks, and it will reconvene tomorrow. Trevor Thompson, Annenberg Radio News.
Mayor Villaraigosa met with the Chamber of Commerce today to ease concerns over city layoffs. Amina Karam has more on the story.
Today, Mayor Villaraigosa discussed his views on how to solve the Los Angeles budget crisis and keep the city from falling into bankruptcy at the Chamber of Commerce. Los Angeles has started this week with a current year budget deficit of $212 million. Projections show that the deficit will continue to climb past $1 billion in 2013. The mayor urged the city council to act quickly to reduce the city's operating costs, first by laying off at least 1,000 employees.
This first order to eliminate 1,000 positions is only the first. There will be more. There is no scenario, none, where we can balance this budget, a budget of this magnitude over a 3-year period, without layoffs.
He says layoffs are part of the plan to avoid a financial meltdown and to ensure a positive financial future for Los Angeles.
We all got to share in the sacrifice. I don't take satisfaction in laying people off.
He asked the people of Los Angeles to take pay cuts to avoid further layoffs.
There is no scenario, none, while I am mayor of Los Angeles, where this city will ever be bankrupt.
The mayor also discussed other ways to avoid layoffs, such as adding more parking meters in the city. Amina Karam, Annenberg Radio News.
Blues and soul singer Etta James, whose popular hit was At Last, is fighting a serious infection. James has been hospitalized for 2 weeks. She was recently moved from Riverside to a medical center in Hawaiian Gardens. Her son says doctors have infection under control, but they don't know when she will be released. Governor Schwarzenegger took more criticism for his budget plan today. Supporters of Planned Parenthood held a protest today in downtown Los Angeles. And as Jenna Zwang reports, they are angry about health care cuts.
Supporters of Planned Parenthood protested Schwarzenegger's proposed cuts outside his office in downtown LA today. The governor's plan will close a nearly $20 billion deficit. However, Planned Parenthood Associate Director Serena Josel fears that the health cuts within the plan will cause more harm than good.
What we want the governor and all of our elected officials up in Sacramento to understand is that this is not a savings. This is actually going to add significant cost to many other health and human service programs by increasing the rate of unplanned pregnancy and increasing the rate of cancer and sexually transmitted disease. Clearly, our elected officials need to make some tough decisions, but this cut just doesn't make any sense.
Protesters are against the cuts that would affect the Federal Family Planning, Access Care, and Treatment Program, or FPACT. The program provides cancer screenings, birth control, and STD testing and treatment services for low-income families.
We're optimistic that the governor, our assembly members, and our senators will hear how much support family planning has across California, and we'll also hear the policy arguments about how, really from a purely economic perspective, this is not a smart move for California.
If approved, Governor Schwarzenegger's budget plan will go into effect in May 2010. For Annenberg Radio News, I'm Jenna Zwang.
In weather, tonight you'll need a jacket. We'll have clouds tonight, and lows will be in the mid to upper 40s. And keep that jacket on for tomorrow. We'll have highs in the mid 60s, but the clouds are sticking around. Later on Annenberg Radio News, the tour through Diane Watson's 30 years of public service. Los Angeles public school students face many roadblocks to learning. A new initiative is hoping to address problems. Chris Foy has reports on the opening of a wellness center at Washington Preparatory High School.
Students in the Washington Preparatory Jazz Band welcome teachers, students, and visitors as a new wellness center celebrated its grand opening. The wellness center will provide physical and mental health services directly on the campus of Washington Prep. Marco Flores is a wellness facilitator at the Washington Preparatory and in local elementary schools. He says the center will create a learning environment where students can thrive.
If kids are not well physically and mentally, they don't come to school and they don't learn.
The clinic is part of the federal Safe Schools Healthy Students Initiative. Its goal is to curb youth violence and substance abuse. Student body president Tyke Nelsworth says students need the help.
Quite a few students have personal problems that sometimes they don't know how to deal with. And I feel that if we had a wellness center, they could go receive advice or instructions on how to cope with their problems at hand.
The wellness center is partnering with different agencies and organizations across Los Angeles County, including the Departments of Mental Health and Children and Family Service, the Cedars-Sinai Psychological Trauma Center, and the Catholic Big Brothers Big Sisters Mentoring Program. Washington Prep's principal, Todd Ulla, says the partnership will strengthen the community's overall well-being.
Our families will feel the power of themselves and the power of learning by feeling better and promoting that wellness and thriving in our community. And I know that's what this is about, and we will reach that goal.
Funding for the center comes from a grant from the federal government under the Safe Students, Healthy Schools Initiative. It will bring $8.2 million to the center over the course of 4 years. This initiative was created to reduce the risk factors that limit students from reaching their full academic potential. The Wellness Center is open Mondays through Fridays between 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. This is Chris Foy reporting for Annenberg Radio News.
Turning now to our top story, Diane Watson's career in Congress began in 2001, but her work in public service goes back much further. Richie Dushan reports on Congresswoman Watson's legacy.
Diane Watson's first cause was education. She became the first African-American woman to serve on the LA Unified School Board in 1975. Her election to the board came at a time of racial tension as Los Angeles and the nation clashed over the issue of mandatory busing. Chris Strudwick-Turner is a spokeswoman for the Los Angeles Urban League. She says Watson's commitment to education has not waned.
Diane Watson has been a champion of education, and she, of course, started on the Board of Education, and she's been involved in the political arena, pushing very hard at the highest levels now at the federal government to ensure that children have the opportunity to get educated the same way she was.
Watson spent the bulk of her career in the California State Senate. She was the first African-American woman to serve there, and she says she wasn't welcome at first.
And I went to Sacramento, and they would say, well, you know, we really don't want you here. And I just look right over it. I asked to go on to Judiciary Committee, and they said, we've never had a non-lawyer. I said, finish the rest of it, a woman or a black.
In the Senate, Watson was a prolific sponsor of bills, about 6,000 over her 20 years there. She championed the rights of women and children. She also played a major role in reforming the state's welfare program, working on a bill that provides education, child care, and employment for welfare recipients. Watson went on to serve as President Clinton's ambassador to Micronesia. Then in 2001, she won a special election to fill the empty U.S. House seat of Julian Dixon, who died while in office. As a liberal in Congress during the Bush years, much of Watson's tenure was spent opposing Republican initiatives, including media consolidation, tax cuts, and privatizing Social Security. She advocated for the expansion of welfare coverage and the withdrawal of troops from Iraq. Watson's district is large and diverse. It includes African-American and Hispanic-dominated South L.A., predominantly white Culver City, all the way up to Mid-City and Koreatown. Alan Park is with the Korean-American Coalition. He says his community will miss Watson in Congress.
It is lost to the Korean-American community in that sense, that we are losing the current co-chair of the Congressional Caucus on Korea, as well as a close friend of the Korean community. We can only hope that her replacement, whomever that might be, will also continue to work closely with us as well as the Korean community in general.
Supervisor Mark Ridley Thomas, who stood by Watson's side as she announced her resignation, released a statement shortly afterward. He said he considers Watson a mentor and a friend. He called Watson's departure the latest signal of a generational shift in South LA's leadership. Richie Dushan, Annenberg Radio News.
Diane Watson steps down at a time when the country has its first black president and a new generation of politicians are being elected to public office. For a look at what's next for Watson's 33rd district, I spoke to Jack Pickney, a professor in politics at Claremont McKenna College. What kind of changes do you see within her retiring?
Obviously, she's been an extremely dedicated public servant for a long time. She was in the state Senate for 20 years before she entered Congress, and her presence is going to be very much missed. But as far as the political composition of the district, it's heavily Democratic, so a virtual certainty that her successor will be a Democrat. And at the moment, the most likely candidate seems to be former Assembly Speaker Karen Bass.
People say that Watson kind of played the race card a lot. Do you see that being played again?
Well, you're going to see whoever fills this seat being a very strong advocate for the interests of the district. And it's an ethnically diverse district, many African Americans, but also Latinos and Asian. Consequently, these constituents are people who are not economically advantaged, and members from such districts sometimes have to fight very hard in favor of their interests.
You already kind of listed Karen Bass as being the successor. Why so?
The real battle is within the Democratic Party. Karen Bass is former Assembly Speaker, has an extremely high profile both locally and statewide. Given term limits, she doesn't have any upward mobility within the State Assembly. Therefore, it makes sense for her to look at another office, and this would be a logical outlet for her her talents.
As far as any kind of Republican candidate getting in there, do you think that would ever be a possibility?
No. It is very difficult to conceive of any situation in which a Republican could win this seat. Moses could come back from the dead, run as a Republican, and be lucky to get 10% of the vote.
And you're just saying because of the way that the structure is and how it's had a kind of like a Democratic ruling in the area?
Yeah, this is a district in which Barack Obama got 87% of the vote. And in fact, it was the second highest percentage in the state of California.
Now, do you see the district and their votes kind of taking the change format? Do you see same type of politics being ran after Diane Watson's successor comes through?
The atmosphere has changed. When Barack Obama ran for president, he was, in fact, the candidate of change. The person who wins this seat will be in a position of supporting an incumbent president rather than an insurgency. So that lends a little bit of a different character to the quality of representation.
The CEO of the social networking site MySpace stepped down today. Owen Van Natta and News Corp CEO of digital media John Miller agreed on his resignation. Both cited his personal and professional priorities. News Corp owns MySpace. Colleagues say Van Natta and Miller had clashing ideas. Van Natta was recruited from Facebook last April to revamp MySpace. And now we check in with Kate Cagle to see what's going on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
Thanks, Heather. Tonight on ATVN, the clock is now ticking. A judge has set the deadline for the start of the trial of the couple suspected in last year's deadly hit-and-run accident that killed a USC student and injured another. And former President Bill Clinton is recovering from heart surgery this evening. We'll tell you all about his procedure. And finally, officials are scrambling to clean out debris basins to prevent more mudslides. We'll show you one of the worst areas. Tune in tonight at 6 on Trojan Vision.
Well, thank you so much, Kate. Looking forward to it. Now for our newest segment we call It's On the Record. Valentine's Day is just around the corner, and one politician's former love affair doesn't seem to be going away. It's On the Record. The National Enquirer is reporting that former presidential candidate John Edwards is engaged to his mistress, Riel Hunter. The tabloid says he proposed to her the same day he revealed he fathered her 2-year-old daughter. The Enquirer says Edwards' divorce from his cancer-stricken wife should be completed within a year, making way for his new marriage. The Enquirer initially broke the affair, but Edwards is denying these latest stories. Thank you. Well, that's it for this Thursday. We had help today from Kamala Abraham and Cherise Delgadillo. Jessica Flores is our producer. Timothy Beckworth and Richie Duchon are our executive producers. For all of us here at ATVN, I'm sorry, Annenberg Radio News, I am Heather Hope. We'll be right back.